Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bill Owens, you shocked the hell out of everybody by deciding not to run for Congress again. How come?
Well, really, kind of a simple situation, Alan. Started talking to my family around Thanksgiving as we were going to have two groups together, one at Thanksgiving and one around Christmas, and really decided that it was time that I spent more, if you will, time with them, and felt that we had, you know, done, both my wife and I had done 4 years in the military early on in my career, where we will complete 5 years in Congress, and we think that those are nice bookends in terms of public service in different venues, that we felt comfortable with the need to return to a focus on the family.
So everybody says, okay, it's got to be his health, or it's got to be that he thinks he's going to get beat, or it's got to be, in other words, there's this whole list of it's got to be's, but none of them are true, right?
That's correct. No health issues. I think I was in an excellent position to be reelected. I've had three very tough fights, so I'm clearly not inclined to step away from a fight, and felt very comfortable with where I was in the district, and I continue to feel that way. And what's interesting to me is that I've had as many Republicans as Democrats come up to me and say they're sorry I'm not running.
Yeah, I think there's a certain decency after the party. You knock each other's brains out party-wise, but at the same time, you know, people can project themselves onto somebody else's decision. I guess that's inarticulate, but you know what I mean.
I do. And I think, you know, people are looking for a story, if you will, and making, in my view, in many cases, outlandish guesses that are not supported by the facts.
Right. Okay, so now let's ask you this. What are you most proud of that you did accomplish in those 5 years so far?
Well, clearly, I think in Washington, it was focusing on trying to bring other people towards the middle, if you will, by the groups that I joined, the people that I interacted with. And if I moved the system, if you will, a couple of inches towards the middle, towards a more bipartisan, more fact-based analysis, then I think I've done something significant.
Have you always been a moderate? I know that your law partner was a very famous Republican state senator. You were a Democrat. Have you always been inclined to make peace?
Yes. I'm always looking for solutions. And usually when you look for solutions, you must find compromise, because people will not buy into a solution unless they feel that there is some benefit to them in that process. So for me, this is really a lifelong adventure. I would hope that I got better at it as I got older. I think I have. But that's really been my focus for my lifetime. And, you know, you mentioned Ron Stafford. Ron was really a Rockefeller Republican. He was not, if you will, an ideologue on the far right. He was a guy really trying to help his constituents. And that was something that was very obvious to me, even though we didn't agree on many subjects. That was very obvious, that his principal focus was making life better for the people in the North Country, and that is a mantra that I followed as well.
So substantively, besides moving people to the center, were there any particular pieces of legislation? Was there any moment that you thought was defining for your and justifying for your being there?
Well, clearly the health care vote.
Sure.
I continue to believe that was a very important first step. I've also said consistently that it needed to be amended, still needs to be amended.
How so? What do you want done?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think we should do. The first is we need to go back and focus on health savings accounts so that people, as they see higher deductibles and hopefully lower premiums, can take some of that savings and slide it tax-free into an HSA. It will help people meet if you will, those deductibles and copayments. That, to me, should be part of the overall landscape. I think that, in particular, the medical device tax needs to be repealed. I think that that was probably ill-advised. I think that we need to...
Help me with the medical device thing so that everybody understands what that... What was it issued?
Basically, it's a tax that was imposed on the sale of medical devices. So it was imposed on the companies on their gross revenue. That raises some issues in and of itself when you impose it on gross revenue because it doesn't take into account what my cost were to produce the product. Mm-hmm. So I think it was flawed in that respect. I also think that it may have been an inappropriate focus on one particular industry. I think initially, and this is important to understand, is initially the medical device industry was in support of this. And then, if you will, changed their position when they realized, as the law got implemented, that in fact it was not going to drive up the volume that they anticipated would in effect supplement or take the place of the tax that was being imposed. So if you kind of analyze it, the tax is, I think, around 2.3%, and it goes up, I think, to 4% over time. If you had a 4% increase in sales, it's largely break even, and obviously anything above that would be to their benefit. I think people saw that, economically it wasn't working out that way, and therefore I think it's something that needs to be relooked at. Another area that would greatly help Medicare is obviously to allow Medicare to negotiate its drug purchases. That would have a dramatic impact on Medicare and overall health costs. That was something that should have been plugged in the bill initially, in my view. So those are a couple of areas that I would look at, and there's a lot of sort of technical tweaks that could be made to the bill that would make it function better.
So what do you do now?
Where do I go from here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You were quite a successful lawyer. Will you practice law again?
I'm not sure exactly what path I'm going to go down at this juncture. I didn't do this with kind of a plan in mind. I still have 11 months left to serve.
Right.
I want to continue to do my job for the 11 months. You know, as it gets later in the process, I certainly will think about what my options are and see where it takes me.
So, you know, most human beings, when they quit one thing, have something in the back of their head, but you don't have that.
Not at this point. I learned so much in this job, met so many interesting people doing very creative things that I want to do a couple of things. One, I want to stay in the economic development game. I want to be able to help not just people in Plattsburgh, but people in Glens Falls and Fulton County and Jefferson County, as they look at how to do economic development. I think I've gotten some skills, and I've indicated to people as I've traveled around the district that I'm happy to do that and to be a volunteer with them, if you will, in hopes of strengthening that process. And then I'll sort of look at what other options arise for me.
We only have a minute, but can the Democrats hold that district?
Yes, absolutely.
Why do you say absolutely? I mean, it's got a lot of Republicans in it.
It does have a lot of Republicans. But that said, the district, as I've often said, is filled with Rockefeller Republicans and Reagan Democrats. Uh-huh. These are people looking for somebody in the middle. If the Republicans put someone up who is an ideologue to the right, who is not going to be bipartisan, I think that creates great risk for the Republicans that allows a Democrat to take the seat.
Okay, last question. Would you feel guilty if the Republican wins?
No. You know, this is a scenario where I think I have served. I've tried to do my best in that process, and it's time for me to go back to my family.
Well, Bill Owens, we love talking to you. When we come back again, I want to talk to you about the Farm Bill.
All right.